Welcome to Section 2, Lesson 1 of CAM Audio Study Hall, Gray's Exam Prep Essentials, where we dive into state and federal laws. First, focusing on the Condominium Act, which is found in Chapter 718 of the Florida Statutes. So, what exactly is a condominium? Well, it's a unique form of joint ownership. In a condo, each purchaser receives a deed that provides their percentage of ownership in the entire property and provides them with the exclusive use of a specific living unit within the property. The association does not own anything. The total property is owned jointly by all of the members of the corporation. Each unit can be owned by multiple people, and along with your unit, you get an undivided share of those common elements. Now, how does a condominium come into existence? It all starts when the declaration of condominium is recorded with the clerk of the circuit court and filed in the public records of the county where the condo is located. The Condominium Act itself is divided into 7 parts. Art 1 lays out the essential requirements for creating and operating a condominium. It covers everything from what must be included in the declaration and bylaws to who's responsible for paying common expenses. It also explains the association's rights to collect unpaid dues, including interest and attorney fees, and outlines how to amend condominium documents. Plus, it defines what common elements are and even discusses the rights of owners and how a condominium can be terminated. Moving on to Part 2 of the Condominium Act, this section focuses on the rights and obligations of the developer. It requires developers to secure a bond or escrow for taxes and special assessments, and it mandates certain disclosures in purchase agreements. Developers also have to meet specific warranty requirements, which include implied warranties of fitness and merchantability, as well as statutory warranties on the structure, which is at least 3 years. On structural components, and if the developer remains in control of the association, the warranty continues to run up to 1 year beyond transition, but not more than 5 years. Part 3 shifts the focus to the association's rights and obligations. It ensures a smooth transition of control from the developer to the unit owners and allows the association to cancel any existing management agreements with a 75% vote from the unit owners. This part also establishes the rights of parties involved in legal disputes, ensuring they can recover court costs and attorney's fees. In Part 4, we explore special types of condominiums, including leasehold, phased, and conversion condos. Part 5 is all about regulation and disclosure before selling a residential condominium. It gives the Division of Florida Condominiums, Timeshares, and Mobile Homes the authority to enforce compliance with the Condominium Act, covering everything from construction to management. So, once the condo developer hands over the reins, the division steps in to check out any complaints. Here are the complaints they will investigate. 1. They respond to complaints about how everything is being managed, especially the money side of things. This means checking out annual financial reports, shared expense fees, fines, and making sure reserve and operating funds aren't getting mixed up. They also respond to complaints about things like the yearly budget and how reserve funds are allocated. 2. They also respond to complaints about elections, like how they're run, the rules for voting, what happens if board members need to be recalled, and even how electronic voting works, especially during emergencies. 3. They respond to complaints about the maintenance and whether unit owners can access the association's records. 4. They respond to compliance say about how meetings are conducted, too. This includes unit owner meetings, making sure there's a quorum, voting rules, proxies, and meetings for the board and budget. 5. They want to make sure any conflicts of interest are disclosed properly. 6. If there's a need to remove a board director or officer, they'll look into that as well. 7. They also check that the structural integrity reserve study is completed correctly. 8. Lastly, they review any written questions or inquiries from unit owners about these issues. It also sets out disclosure requirements for developers, including filing fees and the need for a prospectus if there are more than 20 units. Initial buyers have the right to void their purchase contracts within 15 days of signing, and associations must file annual reports with the division. Part 6 addresses conversions to condominiums, ensuring that existing renters are protected. Developers must notify tenants of proposed conversions and offer them the option to extend their leases. Tenants also have the right of first refusal to purchase their units. This part also requires developers to disclose the condition of the property and provide financial assurances like reserve accounts or surety bonds. Finally, we have Part 7, which introduces the Distressed Condominium Relief Act. This part emphasizes the public interest in addressing issues related to distressed condominiums, providing relief from certain provisions of the Condominium Act to help both existing unit owners and potential buyers. So, that's a quick overview of the Condominium Act and its various parts. It's a comprehensive framework designed to protect the rights of unit owners, developers, and associations alike, ensuring that everyone involved in condominium living has a clear understanding of their rights and responsibilities. Now, let's dive into the legal frameworks that shape cooperative living arrangements in Florida, which are regulated under Chapter 719 of the Florida Statutes. These setups offer a distinctive approach to property ownership. In a cooperative, the property itself is owned by the association, which is a corporation, and instead of owning a piece of the property directly, you own shares in that association. When you buy a share, it gives you the right to lease a unit from the association. Your specific rights to use that unit are detailed in a document known as a proprietary lease. This structure creates a unique community living experience, blending shared ownership with individual rights. Now, the Cooperative Act is divided into six parts. The first part covers general provisions, laying out the rights and responsibilities of members. The second part focuses on the developer's obligations, like posting bonds for taxes and providing clear disclosures in purchase agreements. The third part discusses the rights and obligations of the association itself. Then, we have special types of cooperatives, including leasehold, phased, and conversion cooperatives. The fifth part deals with regulations and disclosures that must happen before selling a residential cooperative, ensuring compliance with various rules. Finally, the sixth part offers protections for renters and potential buyers during conversions to cooperatives. There is no Part 7 in the Cooperative Act. Also, there is no ombudsman for cooperatives. Next, let's talk about homeowners associations, which are regulated under Chapter 720 of the Florida Statutes. These associations come into existence when a developer records a declaration of covenants with the clerk of the circuit court in the county where the property is located. The association is made up of individual parcels or residences, the governing documents, and the common areas that the association manages. Membership in these associations is mandatory, and the covenants impose financial obligations that carry over to future owners. Chapter 720 is structured into three parts. The first part outlines general provisions, including definitions and the powers and duties of the association. It also covers meetings, financial reporting, and members' rights. The second part focuses on disclosures required before selling residential properties, while the third part addresses the processes for revitalizing covenants. It's important to note that Chapter 720 does not provide state regulation for these associations, but it does require binding arbitration and mediation for certain disputes. Moving on to vacation and timeshare plans under Chapter 721, this law governs properties that allow multiple owners to use them throughout the year. A timeshare plan is defined as any arrangement where an owner gets rights to use property for less than a year. The managing entity, which could be the developer or an owner's association, must follow specific financial and record-keeping requirements. Plus, buyers have a 10-day rescission period to change their minds after purchasing a timeshare. Now, let's touch on the governing documents of community associations. These documents, like the Declaration of Condominium or the Declaration of Covenants, create the framework for how the association operates. They establish rights, responsibilities, and regulations for everyone involved. For cooperatives, the governing documents include articles of incorporation and proprietary leases, which define ownership and membership. The articles of incorporation formally establish the homeowners association and outline its structure and responsibilities. They define membership, voting rights, and the roles of officers and directors. Most community associations in Florida are organized as not-for-profit corporations, which manage the funds and properties for the community's benefit. Finally, we have the bylaws, which are defined the day-to-day operations of the association. They set the rules for meetings, elections, and the powers of the board. The bylaws must include specific provisions required by law, such as how to handle assessments and the process for amending the bylaws. Additionally, the board can adopt informal rules and regulations, which must be reasonable and consistent with the governing documents. That wraps up our overview of community associations and their governing laws. Understanding these frameworks is crucial for anyone involved in community living, whether you're a homeowner, a board member, or a prospective buyer. And for you as an aspiring community association manager, we hope you found this information helpful. Here are 10 multiple choice questions based on content about state and federal laws, specifically focusing on the Condominium Act, Cooperative Act, and homeowners associations in Florida. 1. Which document does not affect a condominium? A. Articles of Incorporation. B. Declaration of Condominium. C. Bylaws. D. Proprietary Lease. The correct answer is D. A proprietary lease does not affect a condominium. 2. Which part of the Condominium Act focuses on the rights and obligations of the developer? A. Part 1. B. Part 2. C. Part 3. D. Part 4. The correct answer is B. The part of the Condominium Act that focuses on the rights and obligations of the developer is Part 2. 3. How long is the statutory warranty on structural components provided by developers? A. 1 year. B. 3 years. C. 5 years. D. 10 years. The correct answer is B. The statutory warranty on structural components provided by developers is 3 years. 4. What is required for unit owners after transition to cancel existing management agreements with the association? A. Simple majority vote. B. 50% vote from unit owners. C. 75% vote of the non-developer unit owners. D. Unanimous consent. The correct answer is C. A 75% vote of the non-developer unit owners is required after transition to cancel existing management agreements with the association. 5. Which part of the Cooperative Act addresses the rights and obligations of the association? A. Part 1. B. Part 2. C. Part 4. D. Part 3. The correct answer is D. Part 3 of the Cooperative Act addresses the rights and obligations of the association. 6. What is the primary purpose of the Distressed Condominium Relief Act? A. To regulate developer disclosures. B. To establish voting procedures. C. To address issues related to distressed condominiums. D. To define common elements. The correct answer is C. The primary purpose of the Distressed Condominium Relief Act is to address issues related to distressed condominiums. 7. How many parts are there in the Homeowners Association regulations under Chapter 720? A. 5. B. 3. C. 4. D. 6. The correct answer is B. There are 3 parts in the Homeowners Association regulations under Chapter 720. 8. What is the rescission period for buyers after purchasing a timeshare? A. 5 days. B. 10 days. C. 15 days. D. 20 days. The correct answer is B. There are 10 days in the rescission period for buyers after purchasing a timeshare. 9. Which document outlines the day-to-day operations of a community association? A. Bylaws. B. Declaration of Condominium. C. Articles of Incorporation. D. Proprietary Lease. The correct answer is A. The bylaws outlines the day-to-day operations of a community association. 10. What must developers provide to ensure compliance with the Cooperative Act? A. Annual financial reports. B. clear disclosures in purchase agreements. C. A bond for property taxes. D. A prospectus for all buyers. The correct answer is B. To ensure compliance with the Cooperative Act, the developers must provide clear disclosures in purchase agreements. Well, do you feel comfortable with the information from the overview of community associations and their governing laws? You can find this information on pages 17 through 41 of your student manual. If you feel you need a review,